Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday. It's a feast of the grandparents of our Lord, St. Anne and St. Joachim, July 26th. We're going to be talking about that with, actually, the foundress of the Catholic Grandparents Association. You heard the Pope talking a lot about this, and one of the archbishops at the Mass yesterday at St. Peter's actually read the homily. The Holy Father did not give the homily, just kind of resting after his surgery a few weeks ago. He did give the Angelus message and also mentioned grandparents in the Angelus. We're going to be talking with Catherine Wiley. She's the foundress of the Catholic Grandparents Association, along with Marilyn Henry, who's the International Ministry Coordinator. Now, Catherine was actually in Rome for that Mass and for the big day yesterday, so she'll be joining us from the Eternal City. And it really is a beautiful story of focusing on the importance in grandparents in our lives and passing on the faith. And I think the role that grandparents and great aunts play, I think, is so, so important. And sometimes we minimize it. We don't pay enough attention to it. I think that was one of the things that came out of COVID, is that we realized, and Catherine even said this in her interview with Vatican News yesterday, the absence of them in our lives and the suffering. And this is what's so sad to me, that now we just hear the fact that the Department of Justice is not going to be investigating, if you can believe that, some of the many problems that we need to find out, we need to uncover with COVID-related deaths in the nursing homes. They're just kind of, oh, no, we don't need to look. We could just look the other way. I mean, we had a huge problem here in Michigan. Of course, New York State, big stories there, and a whole effort and ministry was begun because of the concerns of the deaths of so many people who were placed in nursing homes. So it's and those in the nursing homes who were mistreated or misdiagnosed, and problem upon problem. But the Department of Justice says, no, we don't have to go further and investigate. That is a travesty, and I'm hoping that we'll see more action in that area, that there's something else that people can do. Anyhow, the Grandparents Association, a very important thing, and the Pope announcing the very first Grandparents Day, which was yesterday in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith. Also on my Facebook page, I do have a link to the statement from the Holy Father. I also have a picture of the newest member of our family, baby Danica Annette. Her middle name is after her grandmother on her mother's side. Her Mimi, as they call her, the girls call her. Her name is Danica Annette, and she's telling everybody Happy Grandparents Day, and she's rocking my Facebook page. She had a huge response with lots of likes and whatnot. I posted that to remind all of us the importance of those of us who are in the lives of, whether they're grandparents or whether they're great aunts and great uncles, as it is with me and Deacon Dom. That's a very important role that we all play, and to take that seriously and to love them up as much as you can and to be a great witness. So we'll talk about that at 9:15 Eastern Time, 15 minutes past the hour, with Catherine and Marilyn. And then at the bottom of the hour, I want to share with you some thoughts on yesterday's beautiful gospel message. Of course, the multiplication of the loaves and fishes and the feeding of the 5,000. My husband did a beautiful homily, and I talked about this on the Sunrise Morning Show. And he's been a deacon now for almost 9 years, and he rarely, and I mean rarely, lets me share his homilies. I mean, they're online. You can follow them. You know, I can send you a link if you want. And I actually gave the link to the Sunrise Morning Show peeps, to Paul, Annie, and Matt this morning. And this is, I think, really important. I wanted the ability to share this, or at least just part of it this morning, because of often what happens over the years, you may have been victim of a priest or a deacon claiming that this was no miracle at all, that the real miracle was the fact that people were sat down and shared their food. Well, first of all, if you read that gospel, it says nothing about that. Jesus didn't say to the little boy, gee, thanks, this is so nice that you're giving us your loaves and fish, and now we're going to sit down and I'm going to talk about sharing. No. There is no mention of that in that scripture. And it's so very sad that they jump to that conclusion with no theological church teaching basis, no scriptural basis. Why? I don't know. I think part of it, and Deacon Dom talked about this in his homily, may be a lack of reverence, a lack of faith. And we wonder why we're in the crisis we're in, with so many people not believing in terms of the statistics, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Just a high percentage of Catholics still believe that this is a symbol. Well, in many cases, they've been poorly catechized. But secondly, I think we have to also, at the end of the day, it is up to us. We have to learn, right? Because when we, God willing, get to the pearly gates, God is going to ask us, okay, what did we do to increase our knowledge and to increase our faith? We're all responsible for this. Just like the catechism says, with our children and our grandchildren, as we're going to talk about, that the catechesis is the primary responsibility of the parents, in conjunction with working with the church and the schools. Yes, absolutely. But we have to take it upon ourselves not to sit there and expect to be spoon-fed and not to take something and dig deeper. If we hear something that doesn't sound right, to go online and to look up what the catechism says, to look up what the great saints have taught about the Eucharist over the centuries. So we don't have time to share the entire homily with you. I'm going to talk a little bit about the scriptures and what we've learned in terms of our own study, especially our own visits to the Holy Land. But my husband used the image, and they had it up on the screen in the church, from Tavga, which is a traditional site along the Sea of Galilee, where this miracle took place, very near Beatitudes, Mount of Beatitudes, very near the primacy of Peter. That whole area is so incredibly amazing. So the church is built right on the seashore, just like the primacy of Peter, actually very close to the primacy of Peter, literally next door. And underneath the altar, there is this beautiful mosaic, and I'll explain a little bit more about it when we get to the bottom of the hour. But to encourage you to follow in the footsteps, for example, of the amazing foundress of this network, Mother Angelica, how many times have you watched her programs where she's sitting there with her Bible on her lap, and she would open the Bible, and she would talk about it? And she would encourage us over and over again to have that Bible with us, to read it and to study it and to pray over the scriptures, to learn more about what those scriptures mean, especially in relationship to the sacraments. So when you hear something, don't just walk away and say, oh, that was a nice homily, or maybe, God forbid, that was a bad homily. Look into it. Study further. We need to be able to grow in our faith, and the Catholic Church is so incredibly deep. We have to be able to, with our own ability, just by listening to this radio network, we help you with all kinds of resources. We help you build the church and bless the nation, as we say on Ave Maria Radio. All right, we're going to take a news break right now, get into the news and see what's happening. Weather-wise, we're still expecting some storms across parts of the country, especially in the southwest. In Michigan, we had some really bad weather blowing through in southeastern Michigan. Thanks be to God, no one was hurt, but there was more flooding, which has been a really big problem in parts of the Midwest, including the Great Lakes State. We'll have more on that. Also more on the grandparents' message from the Holy Father. And in addition to the lovely ladies from the Grandparents Association, Gail Buckley will be joining us after our interviews and our commentary, our open segment at the bottom of this Monday morning show on the Feast of St. Anne and St. Joachim, July 26, 2021. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on your Monday morning. Pope Francis is celebrating the first World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. A mass was held yesterday in St. Peter's Basilica for about 2,500 grandparents and elderly, their children and grandchildren. Meanwhile, Vatican News, speaking with Catherine Wiley, who founded Grandparents' Day in the church to help pass on the faith, she was actually in attendance at the mass at St. Peter's and told Vatican News grandparents faced unprecedented challenges during the spread of the coronavirus.
I think that there's never been a harder time for grandparents. And I think all grandparents have been cut off from their families and from their grandchildren, and they had to stand by helplessly and watch their families struggle. You know, so many parents, you know, had to stay at home to try and educate their children, to homeschool them. They couldn't visit their grandparents. Their grandparents couldn't get out to see them. It really has, and I think it's the ultimate gift, this World Day for grandparents. It's the ultimate gift for them in just appreciation and an acknowledgement of what they can do and what they're prepared to do for their families.
In the Pope's homily, which was read at the Mass at St. Peter's yesterday, the Holy Father saying he worries about how individualistic society is treating its older members, urging young people especially to give them love and attention. He added that grandparents had nourished the lives of others and now need the attention, love, and closeness of family members. His homily was read by an Italian archbishop. And with our small offering, Jesus can do great things, just as when he multiplied 5 loaves and 3 fishes to feed thousands, Pope Francis said Sunday. It will be good to ask ourselves every day, what do I bring to Jesus today? The Pope said during his weekly Angelus message, speaking from a window of the Apostolic Palace. Francis said, Jesus can do a lot with one of our prayers, with a gesture of charity for others, even with one of our sufferings, handed over to his mercy. We give our small things to Jesus, and he works miracles. This is how God loves to act. He does great things, starting from small, freely given ones. Mike Bauer tells us Republicans are calling it absolutely shameful that the Department of Justice will not open a civil investigation into the COVID response in several state nursing homes.
The gravity of this cover-up cannot be overstated.
The Trump Department of Justice requested data from New York, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, plus New Jersey last August, amid still unanswered questions about whether some states, especially New York, inadvertently worsened the pandemic death toll by requiring nursing homes to accept patients previously hospitalized for COVID-19. Based on that review, the DOJ decided not to launch a civil rights investigation into whether the policies of New York, Pennsylvania, and Michigan contributed to the pandemic deaths in nursing homes.
A group of Italian Americans are demanding 3 Christopher Columbus statues removed last summer in Chicago be put back. During a rally yesterday, the president of the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans telling a crowd of people the demonstration was a call to action.
We will use every resource possible to make sure that our ethnic group is respected and our issues are addressed.
Their committee filing a lawsuit last week over the statue's removal. The 2 other statues were removed from another park in the South Chicago neighborhood. Columbus statues have been taken down around the country following mass protests that took place in the wake of the Minneapolis police killing of George Floyd. More than 120,000 homes and businesses in and around Metro Detroit have no electricity still this morning after tornadoes and heavy rains blew through the region over the weekend. In a town about 40 miles northeast of Detroit, Armada Township, the supervisor there, John Paterik, says they are grateful, though, no one was hurt.
The mood was definitely positive because we didn't have any serious injuries. I mean, we saw cars crushed flat by trees, serious air conditioning units blown off of buildings and smashing roofs into cars, and nobody was in any of those cars. So we're counting our blessings.
The National Weather Service says tornadoes striking Saturday afternoon near both Detroit and Flint, Michigan, about an hour north. 1 to 2 inches of rain led to more flooding in areas still recovering from flooding more than a week ago. DTE Energy saying power won't be restored until sometime later today at the earliest. Top winds are between 86 and 110 miles an hour. In Utah, at least 7 people are dead following a multi-vehicle crash there. Tori Keller was driving on Interstate 15 at the time of yesterday's crash and just barely managed to avoid being caught up in what they say was a big dust storm on the roads.
My car barely squeezed right through, and it was just like, it was just open enough where we could squeeze through and keep driving on the dirt.
The Utah Highway Patrol saying about 20 vehicles in all were involved in the crash late yesterday afternoon. At least 10 people taken to a local hospital, 3 now listed in critical condition. Investigators are blaming, as we mentioned, the crash on strong winds creating a dust storm along the highway. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott says there is not a lot of clarity with the $1.2 trillion infrastructure measure.
It's amazing when we have a vote in the Senate on a procedural vote to move to a bill that you haven't seen. The days of actually having to pass it to know what's in it has to be over.
Speaking on Fox News Sunday, the Republican calling the bill enormous spending and a tax increase, warning it will hurt people living paycheck to paycheck. He says lawmakers should be asking what's in the bill, and he doesn't think they can move forward without more clarity. A pair of West Michigan moms are planning to release a smartphone app this fall to help parents find reliable and last-minute child care. Sitter Signal CEO Alicia Shoemaker says the idea actually came up as a bit of a joke.
It's been kind of a running joke in a bunch of my mom circles that it would be so great to be able to order a sitter like we order groceries.
The app would connect parents to certified adults who could care for their children for short periods of time. And one more story about the Olympics. Some good news for the good old U.S. of A. Gold in swimming is becoming as American as apple pie. A satisfied Blake Pironi speaking out after he, Zach Apple, Bowen Becker, and Caleb Dressel raced the United States to a gold medal in the men's 4x100 relay in Tokyo.
I mean, it feels amazing. And I said earlier, I mean, even to be here, like 16 months ago, I didn't think the Olympics was going to happen. So, I mean, to be here and to win gold, what more can you ask for?
The U.S. was 3/4 of a second, by the way, off of the world record pace set by the 2008 squad from Beijing that included Michael Phelps. 15 minutes past the hour, it is a feast of the grandparents of our Lord, St. Anne and St. Joachim, and we'll talk about Grandparents' Day, the first in the church, which is actually celebrated yesterday, when we come back on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
God bless all of our grandparents, great aunts, great uncles, the elderly who've worked so hard to raise children and to influence children. On the phone with us is Marilyn Henry. She's the International Ministry Coordinator for Catholic Grandparents Association, working on getting Catherine Wiley, who was in Rome. And Marilyn was in Rome. Now she's up in beautiful Lake Como, taking a little bit of a break. Wow. Marilyn, let me go to you first as we wait to get Catherine on. Congratulations. And what a beautiful day to interview you on this great feast day of our Lord's grandparents. It's a lot to take in, I'm sure, for you. So your thoughts after celebrating the big day yesterday. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, I pray, hope that you can reach Catherine, because really she's the impetus behind all this. She's a visionary and the work for very many years, asking and praying and dreaming that this day would happen, that there would be a day that our church would actually elevate grandparents to the level, grandparents and the elderly, who are the backbone and the hands and the feet of our church a lot, on the same level as World Youth Day. That we've had World Youth Day for many years, and now we have a World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly, and just to recognize them for all the contributions that they've made through the generations, and that they would be supported and encouraged for everything that they do for their families and for our church and for society, for all of society.
So how did you get involved? I know we've spoken before in person. I've seen you at a variety of conferences, but bring us back to when you first got involved in this and why.
Yes, it was actually my husband and I took our first trip to London. My husband's a deacon, and I know yours is too, Teresa. But besides that, I have to visit churches wherever we go. So we were in the cathedral, and London picked up a brochure in the back of the church that said did you know Jesus had grandparents? And it took me aback because I knew that, of course, that St. Anne is Mary's mother, our Holy Mother's mother, but I didn't ever think of her as being the grandmother of Jesus. And most people, when I ask that, do you know Jesus had grandparents? Like, what? Jesus had grandparents? Well, of course he did. So I picked up that brochure, brought it home to my parish in Houston, Texas, Prince of Peace, and I pursued Catherine and the Catholic Grandparents Association about which is one thing that we do, a very large thing that we do. We begin ministry for grandparents in parishes. So then I went to our pastor and then to parish council and began ministry for grandparents in our parish.
And so what was it? Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sure. So then it was time for the World Meeting Families in Philadelphia, and I had always thought about and dreamed about going to a world meeting. And I also had the other part of that is that I had grandchildren who lived near Philadelphia, so I knew I could stay with them and take them maybe to some of the happenings. So I volunteered to work in the booth that the Catholic Grandparents Association had, and there I met Catherine, and she and I have been sort of joined at the hip since then. But I'm very, very grateful and very fortunate to work with her. She is a true force of nature. And like I said, she worked for many, many years. Since 2012, I think she's been advocating for this day.
I'm going to send people to this beautiful, beautiful website, which is CatholicGrandparentsAssociation.org. And the photo there of the Blessed Mother with St. Anne and St. Joseph and St. Joachim is there. The painting is just so beautiful. It's incredibly informative, the website as well, and has all the different locations and number in the United Kingdom, the United States, and Ireland. Passing on the faith and keeping prayer at the heart of the family. And there's, a beautiful painting there of St. Joachim and St. Anne, parents of Mary and the grandparents of Jesus. In terms of what you're hearing from grandparents, I know in the interview we ran a clip of Catherine's interview with the Vatican News Service. They were interviewing her yesterday, and she was talking about how hard hit the grandparents were during COVID. How are they doing now, do you think, that thanks be to God, hopefully coming out of this?
Yes, when you talk to them, you just hear the emotion and how it's just, you can't even describe the emotion when you first get to hug your grandchildren again. I remember standing in my front yard, I forget it was somebody's birthday, at a distance outside in front of my house where my grandchildren, knowing I couldn't hug them. And it was very, very painful. So I think it's just such a relief and such a pleasure and such a gift that we are able to do that, though there's a fear still that things might go the other way. So we definitely need to pray that doesn't happen.
How well was the Mass attended yesterday, Marilyn? And we're still working on getting hold of Catherine. I can't get through on her cell phone, unfortunately. But how well, how many grandparents do you think? I mean, just an estimate. I know you don't have an exact number, but did you see a lot of people there?
And we kind of came in the back way, so I couldn't see the crowd because we were to the side of the main altar. So I really couldn't see the crowd, but I know there were a lot of people exiting with us, and we kind of went out the side door too. But I think that there were as many as they would allow into the cathedral. Wow. I'm sure were there. And then I also was able to watch my parish in Houston. My husband and I stayed up till midnight because we celebrated the 5 o'clock Mass yesterday, and they said the church was 2/3 full of grandparents. Our church is very large. We have families, but we all honored one of the beautiful things we did, and we borrowed this from Our Lady of Knox, the grandparents' pilgrimage that they've had there for many years. We honored the oldest grandparents and the grandparents with the most children, who in our case happened to be the same couple. It's a deacon in our church, Deacon Jerry, who has since retired, but they have 42 grandchildren, 48 great-grandchildren, and
wow,
two great-great-grandchildren. They're about to celebrate their 75th wedding anniversary, so they were very honored, and the whole parish was very touched.
That's amazing. We're talking with Marilyn Henry, and she's the International Ministry Coordinator for the beautiful organization, the Catholic Grandparents Association. Check out their gorgeous website, CatholicGrandparentsAssociation.org. It has all the updated information on the Holy Father praying with grandparents and the elderly, and the Pope Francis' message for the first World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly, which was celebrated in the Catholic Church yesterday. So in terms of activities, what's up next? This is a big, big deal yesterday, but what's coming up in the near future for the Grandparents Association?
It is it was a big deal, and I know that the Holy Father wants this to be celebrated every year in every diocese and every parish. And the other thing before I forget, so I want to remind people that Catherine, before this, advocated for a better prayer be written for grandparents. She wrote to Pope Benedict 7 times and sort of knocked on the door of the Vatican and handed someone a letter to pass on to him. So if people are able to go to the website, they can read that beautiful prayer for grandparents written at Catherine's request by Pope Benedict the 16th. But the other, the thing that we're hoping is, again, that every parish and every diocese will take on a ministry for grandparents. Because that's really the grassroots of where we help each other with our struggles and our dreams and are able to learn from each other the best methods, the best way to pass on our faith and to keep current to family within our families. And we become a very vital and very active ministry within the church, a ministry not just to our and evangelizing not just our own families, but all the families in the parish.
Yeah, and I also think giving encouragement to grandparents everywhere and also great aunties and uncles like me and Deacon Dom. Marilyn, we'll continue to try to get Catherine on and both of you on again. Perhaps you get back home to the States and we can do more with this and hear more about the positive fallout of yesterday. Thank you so much for joining us, Marilyn Henry, International Ministry Coordinator, who was at the Mass yesterday and is now up relaxing after a very big day in Cuomo, a beautiful area of Italy, in northern Italy, Lake Cuomo. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of 7 gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
What are the 3 parables Jesus tells about prayer in St. Luke's Gospel? The first is what the Catechism calls the importunate friend. This is the friend who wakes a pal at midnight in order to borrow 3 loaves of bread to feed a visitor. The second parable the Catechism labels the importunate widow, who persistently pleads for her rights from a reluctant judge till the wearied judge rules in her favor. This parable illustrates the need to pray always and with the patience of faith. Jesus closes this parable with the poignant question, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth?" The third parable centers on the Pharisee and the tax collector, commending the tax collector for his humility because he asked God to be merciful to me, a sinner, a prayer which the church adopts as its own. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Minutes past the hour. It is a Monday morning. It's July 26th, the Feast of St. Anne and St. Joachim, grandparents of Jesus. And again, go to that website, Catholic Grandparents Association. It is quite beautiful. Again, that painting of Jesus with his mother and father and grandparents, just lovely. And the prayer is there for the grandparents. And they have an actual copy you can print up, and there's all kinds of great things. There's a homily of Archbishop Michael Neary for the National Grandparents Pilgrimage to Knox Shrine. There is Pope Francis praying with the grandparents. There's the Holy Father's plenary indulgence to the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. And then there's a message on the Holy Father's message for World Day of Grandparents. And that website, again, is CatholicGrandparentsAssociation.org. And we'll still see if we can get Catherine before the end of the hour. Andrew's working on it. But sometimes when folks are overseas, that happens. So we're grateful we were able to get Marilyn, both Marilyn and Catherine were both at the beautiful Mass yesterday at St. Peter's, honoring the Grandparents Association and the first ever Grandparents' Day in the Catholic Church. Okay, so also yesterday If you recall from our mass readings, we heard the gospel message from John 6. And these gospel messages that we're going to be hearing are leading up, of course, to the Eucharistic discourse, also later on in John 6. So this is the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, the feeding of the 5,000 in this particular reading. Again, from John chapter 6, it's verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a multitude followed him, because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. Jesus went upon the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to making him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And that was our gospel yesterday, of course, leading up to later on in John's gospel, chapter 6, to the Eucharistic discourse. Now, maybe you're in a parish, or you've been in a situation where you've always heard one after the other fantastic homilies. You never heard a priest or a deacon go, you know, stray or do a big personal interpretation thing or go off on some tangent. And if that's the case, you're extremely blessed. But in many cases over the years, and I was talking about this on Matt and Annie's show this morning, the Sunrise Morning Show, on my Monday morning installment that I do every week with them, that over the years, at some point, you've probably heard, maybe even if you haven't heard it yourself, someone reference often a problem that occurs with some who have access to a homily, such as a deacon or a priest, and they basically make it up as they go along, totally misrepresent or misinterpret without any basis in church teaching or really actually in the scriptures, and making it sound like a miracle wasn't really a miracle at all. And what's so, I think, compelling about this particular gospel, which, by the way, the miracles, these miracles are mentioned in all 4 gospels, the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, is that there's no mention here of Jesus saying, "Well, isn't it nice that this young man shared what he had, and we're all going to share. So everybody open up their coolers and their picnic baskets, and let's have a big sharing fest." The scriptures are very, very clear that they believe because of the signs. Do you really think it would be mentioned 4 times in the Gospels if it was just Jesus saying, "Hey, let's all share. Let's all do this. Let's all share." No. And so Deacon Dom gave a very detailed homily yesterday about our trip, one of our trips, many trips to the Holy Land, and one of his favorite mosaics, which is at the Church of Tabgha, which, as I mentioned earlier, is along the Sea of Galilee. It is a traditional spot of the miracle of the loaves and fishes. And under the altar, there's a beautiful mosaic of 4 loaves and 2 fish. And Deacon Dom, in the homily, which we don't have time to play in its entirety, but explains why there's only 4 loaves and 2 fish represented, because that 5th loaf represents Jesus, his body, blood, soul, divinity on the altar. As the Pope said yesterday, also in his beautiful reflection at the Angelus on this particular gospel, it is the Lord who performs a miracle. Yes, with the loaves and the fish, with feeding the 5,000, but also the miracle of our lives, the miracle of that little boy turning over what little he had, and there was the miracle of the multiplication, but also the miracle in our lives. And we take whatever brokenness we have, as the Pope said, and we come to the Lord. Sometimes we're like, "Okay, Lord, we have nothing, but here is what we have." So if we have time, I'm going to play that clip from Deacon Dom's homily, and we'll put the link up there if you'd like to hear the whole thing. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it and how important it is for us to learn more about the scriptures for so many reasons. Take a listen.
When we bring to the Lord even the smallest of our offerings, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our doubts, He will transform them into great blessings in His own divine way. Now, some of you who know my testimony may know that there was a time in my life about 30 years ago where I thought my marriage was over. Teresa and I had separated and things in our lives were a mess. Now, I remember one night, all alone, kneeling beside my bed, probably for the first time since I was a little boy, and just asking God for help in a desperate prayer. I'm sure it wasn't the most eloquent prayer. It was really that, just that, a desperate cry for help. Now, I'd like to tell you that immediately the sun came out, the storms, clouds disappeared, and everything was rosy in our lives. But we all know that life usually doesn't work that way. However, I firmly believe that God took this scrap of faith and led Teresa and me through an amazing journey, one with ups and downs for sure. But ultimately, He led us to a greater, happier, more faith-filled marriage than we ever would have had otherwise, because we never would have come to understand how deeply we need Jesus, the bread of life, in our life, both as a couple and individually. And I tell you this story not to brag on myself, but to brag on Jesus Christ and what happens when you go to Him with your deepest needs and hurts and wants. No matter what you are going through, the Lord can and will heal your hurts, restore your life, and build your faith when we turn to Him.
36 minutes past the hour, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, continuing our discussion on the importance of understanding what our church teaches us about the messages in Scripture and why it is really upon us, not just the deacons and the priests and the bishops, to learn about our faith, to teach and to learn about our faith. It's a Monday morning, and then speaking of Scripture, bringing Gail Buckley up a little bit later on in the program with our scripture verse of the week. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Saints Anne and Joachim, pray for us.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, He taught us a great lesson. He taught us that He came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God in all His power and all His wonder, and He comes down to our level, He wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, He did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. All religions have myths and ideas about a great God who made the world. But no religious teachers except Jesus Christ ever claimed to be that man. G.K. Chesterton said this about that.
The most that any religious prophet had ever said was that he was the true servant of such a being. But that the Creator was present in the detailed daily life of the Roman Empire, that is something utterly unlike anything else in nature. It is the one great startling statement that man has made since he spoke his first articulate word, instead of barking like a dog.
And that's Evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Thirty-nine minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. really important for us to continue to dig deeply in understanding our faith. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, Mother Angelica talked about this all the time, the founders of EW Chan, and we often saw her sitting on set with her Bible and encouraging people to do what she was doing, to open it and read and take it in and to feed, to chew on the Word of God. And I think it's really important for us, if we don't understand something, to ask and to ask questions of good resources. For example, over the years, you may have heard, maybe not, but I have, and it's very, very frustrating. And I was talking about this with our associate pastor, Father Andrew Dawson, yesterday about how frustrating it is when priests do this, or priests or whomever it is, a deacon, try to totally take the scriptures regarding the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, which is mentioned in all of the Gospels, by the way, and make it sound like it was nothing but a big picnic. Everybody sat down and shared. I mean, there's nothing about that in scripture at all. So where they get that, and it's so sad, as it's ridiculous, and it's really a silly interpretation, a misinterpretation, but it's not even based on what the scripture says. Jesus said nothing about, gee, thank you, young man, for offering over your loaves and fish, being willing to share. Now, we're all going to share. He didn't stand up and say, we're all going to share. Everybody dig in their pockets and grab their sandwiches and let's break the bread and whatever we have and let's all share. No, that's not what happened. It was actually a test for the apostles. And it's a reminder for us, as Deacon Dom was saying in that clip we played from his homily yesterday. And by the way, in the 9 years that he's been a deacon, I rarely have ever played anything. Maybe in my first hour of the program, that's broadcast mainly in Michigan. But he doesn't like me to do that. And I said, please, this is so important. People need to hear about the beauty of this teaching on the Eucharist. And he said, okay, I'll let you play it. I played almost the entire thing in the first hour of the program in just a clip. And I chose that segment where he talked about our brokenness, because this is what the Holy Father mentioned yesterday as well in his comments, that Jesus can do great things when he multiplies the brokenness that we have. When we take our pain and say, Lord, look, I got nothing right now. I'm broken. I don't know what I have, but whatever I have is yours. He can take that prayer, that suffering. We give small things to Jesus, the Pope said, and he works miracles. This is how God loves to act. He does great things starting from small, freely given ones. And this is what Deacon Dom was stressing yesterday, in that desperation, that desperate prayer that he had. And one of the times we were separated before our marriage was healed, he just cried out to God. And it didn't happen overnight, but those of you who've heard us give our testimony or read any of my books or read Intimate Graces that we wrote together understand the journey, that it was a long journey, but it started with that point, a point of getting on our knees and asking for God to take what little we have and to do something, anything with what we give him, to try and make a difference in our own lives in healing and then to make a difference in the lives of others. But how this happens in terms of what people say about this particular miracle, trying to make it not a miracle, it's very sad to me, but also it's very tragic, because what it leads to is a lack of faith in the Eucharist. If this was not a miracle, then what is the big deal about the Eucharist? And I was talking to, again, our associate pastor yesterday. He says, you know, I never understood this, T, how, you know, priests can give a homily like this and then go up and consecrate the Eucharist after that. It's very sad. So pray for those priests who think that this is the correct interpretation. I don't know where they got this from, or, you know, from whom they heard it, or why they're saying this, but there's obviously a lack of belief that Jesus can do this, that God can do this. So the question comes up quite often, and I want to refer you to one of our shows, Catholic Answers, which is awesome, of course, carried every night here on EWTN. They have a great website, Catholic.com, and this question has been posed many times to the great teachers at Catholic Answers. My pastor said in a homily that the biblical account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 was not a miracle. Instead, it was a miracle of sharing. Is this true? No. The feeding of the 5,000 was a genuine supernatural miracle that could not have been accomplished by any natural means whatsoever. It was not a miracle of sharing or anything similar to that. It was a supernatural event. The miraculous feeding is also a foreshadowing, Catholic Answers explains, of the miraculous feeding of the Eucharist. And they mention the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The miracles and the multiplication of the loaves, and the Lord says blessings, breaks and distributes the loaves to his disciples to feed the multitude. prefigure the superabundance of this unique bread of the Eucharist. This is a Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1335. We also see a connection between the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and the Eucharist in John 6, where we read that Jesus gave his first public teaching on the Lord's Supper immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. The supernatural event prefigured the holy sacrifice of the Eucharist, in which all who eat the one broken bread, Christ, enter into communion with him and form but one body. And this is a Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1329. So write down these two paragraphs, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1329, and paragraph 1335, okay? This is a very good summary and a very good teaching on Catholic answers based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So what do you do if you hear this homily and you're frustrated and you feel like you want to get out and walk out of Mass? Well, funny story that Steve related to me, and I think he shared it on this program, as a matter of fact. He was speaking at a conference, and his beautiful wife, Janet, was with him, and he was attended a Mass afterwards. I can't remember where it was, but he was heading out of town, and so I think they were attending some Saturday Vigil Mass, maybe. And it was this gospel, and he heard the quote-unquote miracle of the sharing. And Janet practically had to sit on him because he really was so frustrated. He wanted to stand up not only and say something but walk out. And she said, take a breath, pray, and then when you get home, write him a letter. And so that's exactly what he did. And then he not only sent it to the priest very nicely, he sent it to the bishop. And the bishop wrote him back. And they had a conversation. And he thanked Steve. Not sure what happened in terms of the bishop following up with the priest, but Steve did exactly, for example, what Catholic Answers did and what we're doing this morning. Took a look at what the church has to say about these things and spoke the truth. It could be that maybe a particular priest was taught himself incorrectly. We don't know. But don't just sit there and take this. If it sounds odd to you, if it sounds, well, why is it a miracle then? I mean, common sense would have you ask that question, regardless of how much you may or may not know about the scriptures. Why would it be recorded in all four gospels if it was no big deal, if it was just sharing, as Dominic said in his homily? So be loving, be respectful, but do your homework and read the scriptures. Read what the church has to say about them in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as we just mentioned, those two paragraphs. And always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, but to do it with gentleness and reverence, as 1 Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15. It is a Monday morning, and we'll be right back to talk more about the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth with our very own Gail Buckley. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
From the archives, this is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I don't know if news is news anymore. Do you think it is? When you hear that they're going to clone a human being, you know, it's hard enough to put up with some people, let alone two of them. We seem to glorify sin, grievous sin these days, see. But we say that the sin is worth it to do good. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? The abortion clinics sell the little fetus $600, $700, $800, $900 a piece. First we murder the child, and then we sell it. For what? Oh, well, it's going to cure an old woman. Well, you just killed a young one. True love is the best gift of all.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE.
Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Now, Catechism Wisdom with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Father Larry Richards.
Father Larry, church talks a lot about charity, right? Let me read to you something that the Catechism says, section 2447. The works of mercy are charitable actions by which we come to the aid of our neighbor in his spiritual and bodily necessities. Instructing, advising, consoling, comforting are spiritual works of mercy. My profession says that we need to have people meet our needs. Now, this here seems to be a little, I don't want to say antagonistic, but maybe contrary to that.
The way of the world says me, me, me. The way of God says you, you, you. And when we sit there and we focus on the reality, it's in giving away your life, Jesus says, that you find life. That is so anti-world, isn't it?
I serve to feel better?
Exactly. That's where we get everything. It's in giving away your life that you find life. That's the cross. That's the way of Christianity.
That's contrary to conventional wisdom.
Yeah, and that's the point.
Okay. Well, enough said there. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, catechism puts things on
Absolutely.
Its head according to conventional wisdom.
Absolutely. Jesus comes and changes the world and turns the world upside down and says, you want life, then you give away life. And it's in that that we find true life. It's in serving that we become more fully who we are. As God left heaven, if you will, became a man and gave his life for us. And when we do the same, just as he found eternal life in his humanity, so will we. A life of self is a wasted life. God says, I'll take care of number one. You take care of others. And when you give away and you live a life of service, that's when you're going to find life.
So others are number one.
You got it. I have a thing that says, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. The life of joy, huh? That's the exact opposite of what the world says. But when you do that, you will have a joyful life.
51 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's one of those days. Two of our guests went missing. Our first one was Catherine from the Grandparents Association. Now we can't find Gail Buckley. St. Anthony, St. Anthony, please come around. We've lost our guests. They can't be found. But you know what? The show must go on, so no biggie. It's not like I can't talk for another 5 minutes, but I was kind of bummed because I wanted to have both of those guests on for you. Anyhow, since we have a few minutes left, and so this is a beautiful feast day of St. Anne and St. Joachim, I thought I would give you a little background because I'm all about the saints. You know how much I love the saints, and I'm all about learning more about the saints and, of course, our beautiful One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Catholic News Agency has a beautiful summary on these saints, and we'll post it on my Facebook page, and I'll send it to Andrew, and he'll also post it on our archive section of Catholic Connection at AveMariaRadio.net. The Catholic Church commemorates the appearance of the Virgin Mary, Saints Joachim and Saint Anne, today on July 26. A couple's faith and perseverance brought them through the sorrow of childlessness to the joy of conceiving and raising the immaculate and sinless woman whom would give birth to Jesus. The New Testament contains no specific information about the lives of the Virgin Mary parents, but other documents outside of the biblical canon do provide some details. Although these writings are not considered authoritative in the same manner as the Bible, they do outline some of the Church's traditional beliefs, including beliefs about Joachim, Anne, and their daughter. For example, the Proto-Evangelium of James, which is probably put into its final written form in the early 2nd century, describes Mary's father Joachim as a wealthy member of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was deeply grieved, along with his wife Anne, by their inability to have children. He called to mind Abraham, the early Christian writing says, and in the last day God gave him a son, Isaac. Joachim and Anne began to devote themselves to rigorous prayer and fasting in isolation from one another and from society. They regarded their inability to conceive as a surpassing misfortune and a sign of shame among the tribes of Israel. As it turned out, however, the couple were to be blessed even more abundantly than Abraham and Sarah. An angel revealed this to Anne when he appeared to her and prophesied that all generations would honor their future child. The Lord has heard your prayer, and you shall conceive and shall bring forth, and your seed shall be spoken of in all the world. Amen to that. So there's much more in this beautiful summary from Catholic News Agency, and we'll post that at Catholic Connection. I think I'll also post it on my Facebook page as well, because it's a great way to learn more about the saints. Since we have a few minutes left, I thought it would be really nice to end with the beautiful prayer that they actually have on the grandparents page for grandparents, for those of you out there. And I think also those of us who are great aunties and uncles and who are so close to the little ones in our family, even if we don't have children of our own. So this is a prayer for the grandparents, which you can find at CatholicGrandparentsAssociation.org. And as you know, you may have heard in the news over the weekend, the Holy Father celebrating the first Catholic Grandparents' Day in the church, of course, because it's the closest to the feast day today of Saints Anne and Joachim. Lord Jesus, you were born of the Virgin Mary, the daughter of Saints Joachim and Anne. Look with love on grandparents the world over. Protect them. They are a source of enrichment for families, for the church, and for all of society. Support them. As they grow older, may they continue to be for their families strong pillars of gospel faith, guardian of noble domestic ideals, living treasures of sound religious traditions. Make them teachers of wisdom and courage, that they may pass on to future generations the fruits of their mature human and spiritual experience. Lord Jesus, help families and society to value the presence and role of grandparents. May they never be ignored or excluded, but always encounter respect and love. Help them to live serenely and to feel welcomed in all the years of life which you give them. Mary, Mother of all the living, keep grandparents constantly in your care, accompany them on their earthly pilgrimage, and by your prayers grant that all families may one day be reunited in our heavenly homeland, where you await all humanity for the great embrace of life without end. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? You can find that prayer at CatholicGrandparentsAssociation.org and do yourself a favor and check out the homily that was read at St. Peter's yesterday that was written by the Pope all about Grandparents' Day. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Monday morning. We'll do this again tomorrow on a Tuesday. And don't forget, everything is archived at AveMariaRadio.net, and we'll have the links to all the different articles, Dom's homily, and also the beautiful grandparents' prayer. Talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.